All right, let's start it off. Give us a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Figure out the connector, whack it off, and just make it.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the show link, go to like the DLNTS.org. And the IRC channel is a linuxtech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 847 of the Linux Link Tech Show for March 4th, 2020. I thought there for a second it was the third. On the show tonight we have Pat,
back from killing pigs in Tennessee,
and Joe.
Oh, Rich is here too now.
And Rich
from the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command, not killing pigs in Tennessee, but we'll be there next month.
How was it, Pat?
It was nice. I was the nearest town's Monterey, which is halfway between Knoxville and Nashville. I killed my pig, and then I went to the next town over and had barbecue, and then I left.
Wait. Was it the same pig that you shot?
No.
Oh.
No. The pig I shot was butchered in the freezer, you know, getting chilled. But I was in this town called Cooksville. And I came back over the weekend, and on Monday night, they had a tornado go through there and kill about 20 people.
Oh, man, that's where you were?
Yeah, the lodge was like about 25 miles from there, but it was like two towns over. And I asked the local guys, you know, the guides, you know, what was a good barbecue place, and they recommended this place. And it was just outside of town there where that place got hit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was real bad. I mean, I saw some guy from that town on Facebook. He posted like video and pictures, and it's one neighborhood. It looks like it got completely flattened. It was only on one side of the street, though, so it looked like it, you know, those storms, man, they fucking cut a swath, and it's like a laser beam, you know?
Yeah, that's weird. I'm used to hurricanes, you know, because it'll, you know, it does a substantial amount of damage over a large area, but it's not too intense typically.
Yeah, these things are the opposite, man. They're very intense and they're very localized. You know, you'll have a house on one side of the street that's untouched and the other side's completely destroyed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's what it looked like. You know, it was the middle of the night. I know ShopRite, he's not that far from there. And I think his sirens were going off in the middle of the night. But they didn't get hit. Nashville looked pretty bad. The airport, there was a couple of hangars got hit and a bunch of planes got destroyed. Plus, there was a bunch of damage downtown, too. But that was...
That stuff's insured, you know?
Yeah, but that was a couple hours to the west where I was. But, you know, it's a tragedy. You know, all these people died, a bunch of kids. It's horrible.
What day were you there?
I was there last week.
Oh, last week.
Like the middle of the week towards the end.
Okay.
And I was back by Saturday.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible for those people down there. But I had a good time. It was nice up there. I was up on a mountain, killed a pig. 300 pounder. Yeah, just one. It's my first time.
Woohoo! What'd you whack him with?
308 bolt action rifle. My dad's old Browning.
So day, night?
It was in the morning. The guy took me up the mountain halfway up around 8 o'clock in the morning. And I hiked up to the top. He told me to go look on one side of the mountain. I went up there. I didn't see anything. So then I walked to the other side of the mountain. Didn't see anything up there. Then I like started coming down. There was like a watering hole about halfway down that in warm weather, they tend to hang around. But it was cold that morning. It's only about 28 degrees. So I didn't see any pigs around the watering hole, but there was like a ravine right next to it. I hiked down there, and then I started coming up on the next hill. And as I come up on the next hill, there were like three pigs just sitting there huddled on one side. I was maybe 30 yards from them, and like I completely surprised them. They like jumped up and then they looked at me, didn't know what the fuck I was. So I picked the fattest one and I fucking shot it 3 times.
And then how do you get that out of there?
The guys heard me shooting, so they came up with the quad, and me and the one guy, we threw it on the back of the quad, and then we drove down the trails.
Oh boy.
And they butchered it, you know. They did a nice job.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How many days were you there for this?
Like 3.
And you got it, you got your pig on which day?
The second day. The first day, okay. I was there, it was pissing rain, and I didn't feel like going out there. It was all fucking muddy and shit and miserable. And the next day was much nicer. It was cold, but it was nice and clear. And I prefer that than being in the mud.
Oh, that's understandable.
You didn't do any night shooting at all?
Nah, this is my first time with pigs, so, you know, I did standard stuff, you know, morning. And I was only up there like an hour, you know, I freaking killed them.
Well, once you shoot your pig, is that it then? You're done? Or did you go back out again?
You could if you want. I was content, you know, I got 150 pounds of meat out of it.
Yeah, that's
150
true.
Pounds of meat?
Yep.
Yum,
that's one damn big pig.
Yeah, it was a 300-pounder.
So, the only thing, and again, I have zero hunting experience. The only thing I know is they say that the younger ones are better because they get less infestation of parasites.
That's more of an issue in the summertime. In wintertime, it's not really an issue.
And maybe that's a Florida thing, because it's always
maybe
summer.
Yeah, it's always hot down there. Tennessee gets cold in wintertime up in the hills, especially. And it was pretty cold.
Makes me wonder, you probably can't hunt gators. Are they endangered?
Yeah, gators are protected, apparently.
Used to be a restaurant in Knoxville that you can get gator. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
you could.
I think you can farm gator. I think places farm gator, and they'll sell
gator.
You can get
gator here.
You have gators, or you can hunt gator?
No, you can eat gator. Go into a restaurant.
There's places over here that have it, too.
Yeah, I know I've gotten gator in Florida before.
Supposedly it tastes like chicken.
Yeah, I've had gator before. Everything tastes like chicken, right?
Oh, pig tastes like pig.
So. Yeah, no, yeah, everything but pork and beef. You know?
Beef,
yeah. It doesn't taste like chicken. But, so... When you go on the hunt, do you pay a set fee, and then that includes the processing of the pig?
Yeah, this place was a ranch, a 5,000-acre ranch.
Uh-huh.
Basically, like fish in a barrel.
Pretty much, yeah. It was really easy. It was my first time, so, like I said.
So you didn't have to get your hands dirty or anything?
Not this time, though. I saw how he did it. He skinned it.
It's like, I don't know if they do them anymore, but they used to do these big pheasant hunts. Dakota, I think my old boss used to go there, he and his buddies, but the group that he would hunt with, they'd bring back like over 100 birds.
So, that's a lot. Pheasants are awesome.
Oh yeah, and he gave me one too. I got to make it at home and try it, and it's delicious. It's good.
Oh yeah, it's like halfway between a chicken and a turkey.
Did you actually start the show already?
Yeah, no, we did. Started. We started on time, man.
No, you started early.
See, yeah. I'm on call this week, and there was a I'm not going to mention names, but there was a male body part or a guy acting like one who decided at 7:30 I'm going to submit a whole bunch of incidents to me. So I like cleared them up because there were stupid incidents, you know, because this is just like, this is damn interesting. I'm like, oh, okay, let me bring it up. Done. I'm like, oh my God. But he did it for like 4 or 5 clients. And I'm like, why? Why? You could have sent this over to India. They could have done it. Why?
He wanted you, Joe. He wanted you to solve his problems.
Yes. And we got the fun things. I'm not only on call this week, but this weekend they're migrating from one version of Snow to another, or ServiceNow. That's what we call ServiceNow, or service, or like I like to call Service Later.
Service shit.
Because it's so crappy and slow.
Jonas has a great comment. He said business would be great if it wasn't for all these customers.
No, this is not one of those ones that came from a customer. This came from an internal person. The customer never noticed it. But it's like, you know, what did you do? Just go through the list every meeting and have them bring this up and then show you? Because he can't log into UI. Well, he's not supposed to anyway. It's just, oh, man. But anyway. It's been a good day, though.
So I host with HostTech. I have a reseller account because I forget, you can have up to like 5 domains hosted and it was $20 a month. It's up now to like $39 a month. And it's Linux and you can do I think PHP and Cold Fusion, but the open source version, the Lucy version. And I needed PHP like 5.6 and above, and it was 5.3 on the server I was on. So they had to move me over to Windows because they don't do that with Linux. I'm like, really?
What?
Yeah, for whatever reason, HostTech wasn't able to keep me on the Linux server. Jonas says that's the Cold Fusion ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, and
what version of PHP did you need?
I was on like 5.3 and I needed a minimum of 5.6 for some code I bought, and you know, like, hey, can you upgrade? And they're like, it's something having to do with the cPanel, and there's a conflict. And
oh,
if
man,
people don't know what cPanel is. cPanel is basically how you administer a website or multiple websites if you're doing like reseller type hosting. The reason as an individual, and I do host some sites for some friends, but the reason so unfortunately Jonas is typing and then it reads the does text to speech.
We'll
so
just turn that shit off.
Yeah, I gotta figure that out in a second. So the good thing about doing the reseller account is when it started out it was like $20 a month and you got 5 domains and you had unlimited everything. So there was no data caps, there's no storage caps, nothing. So that's why I did it. And probably it was foolish because over the 10 plus years I've done it, I've never needed it. But it was still cheaper than if I, like, as an individual, did a single site. But now it's like $39 a month. So I don't know. I got to reevaluate. And maybe, like Jonas said, maybe I should take a look at DigitalOcean. Because that might be cost effective for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think is the underlying operating system Debian?
Oh, you know, I don't know what the underlying OS. All I know is it was Linux as the OS. And, you know, really, as on a shared server, you don't get down to the nitty gritty. I'm sure maybe there's some sort of.
Oh, yeah, that's panel. Right. Because I was thinking, man, PHP 5.6 ended on December 31st, 2018.
Right. But, so, and we're like 5.3.
But according to the page I'm reading, Debian Jesse, Debian 8.0 is extending support until 2020, June 2020. So I was wondering maybe if that was related.
So I just wanted to comment to Rob. Rob said he had a Pine computer and he wanted me to take a look at it. And I gave him some suggestions on before he sends it out to me to what to do. I just wonder if he did any of the suggestions. So he wasn't able to get it to boot, and you know, had some issues with it.
Pine 64.
Yeah, it's the Pine 64 Pro, and
Through the same problems I had?
Yes, that's what he was saying.
Oh my goodness.
Weird.
Where you have to like
he's been
find
working
that
on it for weeks now.
You have to find that correct, like, magical combination of the right SD card with the right image.
He said it's no longer booting. I know I did a video. Now that was an Odroid I did a video on. And the Pine, I haven't really had an issue with. I don't remember what I did because it's been a while.
So I take it. It makes me wonder. So it worked before, like the images he was using, they all worked, but now it just stopped.
Yeah, and I know there's, I'm pretty sure there's a switch on it to, you know, switch versus EMMC versus the SD card. And I, you know what, I'm confusing this with the Odroid, because the Odroid, you had to boot, I think, first time around their Android OS, and then you could put any other OS on it.
Well, that's an interesting problem, because generally speaking, if you have a laptop or a desktop and it doesn't boot, you usually get some kind of, you usually get some kind of audio error tone in there that if you look up the manufacturer's motherboard,
yeah, you get the beeps.
Or the motherboard, yeah, you could kind of get an idea of what might be wrong, or if it doesn't boot, or you could take all the components that are connected into it off and do kind of like testing that way. But what options do you have on a lot of these single board computers if you hook everything up and nothing happens?
Well, you know, pretty much all of them have HDMI out. You know, there's one or two that don't.
Yep.
And you would have to do, you know, a serial port out on that. So that would be the way you would debug some of these things. But on the Pine, let's see, it's the ROC 64 Pro, you've got HDMI on it, so you can see what's going on there.
Well, I know with like the Pi, if you're having output issues, you can turn on SSH by modifying the SD card, and then you can SSH in and check your D message and see what was going on.
Well, wait, that also, okay. So what I'm saying is, like, if I attempt to boot a computer, generally a desktop or whatever, with bad RAM, I won't get anything, and it will give me like an audible code, four beeps or something. Well, so I'm saying the same thing with like a Raspberry or like a single board computer, these devices, if the memory on these things is bad, you're not going to get any display on the output. Is there any kind of like audible
message? No audible.
You'll get a light. It'll be a red light stuck on if it were like the Raspberry Pi.
Oh yeah, that's right. It does have, but you're not going to really know. So I'm you know, makes me wonder, like, is Robert getting a red light? Is it green? Is it doing like what it did when I tried to boot it? You just get nothing, and it doesn't look like there's a problem.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. He's in the IRC right now, so let's see what he says.
I know. I've been watching.
That's like I just set up OctoPi. Again, on my Pi 2, and I've got it hooked up to my printer. Actually works really, really well. Actually, for the first time, I've never sent G-code via OctoPi to the printer. I did today, and it worked great.
My printer has me pissed off.
What's going on with it?
Well, I let it set for like a year, so I finally got the parts to fix it. And I put it together, and it sure looked like it was working. But the first print, it ended up shifted.
So, a layer shift, yeah. Something not tight.
Yeah, so Well, actually, it, like I said, it had sat for a while. So I did go in and check and make sure that the belts had proper tension. And then I oiled all of the rods to make sure that they were correct.
Got to make sure you have a well-oiled rod.
Right. And then I moved everything up and down, and I was having trouble with the Y axis, but I got that smoothed out. And then I set up the same print again and let it run. And, well, I had less of a shift, so I did it all again, made sure that everything was freely moving, and I set up the print again. And this time I didn't get a shift, but the fan shield crashed into the plate, or crashed into the print. And basically it prevented the Y axis from moving. So instead of, you know, printing on top, it kind of dumped everything in the back. And that was, you know, a good hour and a half into the print. So I wasn't staring at it. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, fine. I set it up and tried it again, and nothing would come out of my extruder because, you know, I was going to start testing and seeing what happened. So, you know, I did the normal stuff for clearing a jam. I heated it up. I pushed it through. that wasn't working. So I removed just the nozzle and the tube from inside. There was a clog in the tube. Okay, so I ended up having to drill out the tube. Everything worked fine. I made sure another piece of filament would slip right through, put it all back together. I could not get the filament back in. I took out the nozzle and the tube again and then tried to feed with it cold, tried to feed filament up through the other way, just to see if everything was clear. It won't go back through. So now before I can test on why it was crashing, I have to take it apart and clear the jam. And I'm a little annoyed, so I'm giving it a break for probably a week.
You can get that way.
Yeah, like a two-year break.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that, you know, if I can come up with the extra money, I'll go get one of the Monoprice minis from who sells it around here? Mm-hmm. Micro Center.
Yeah, Micro Center has them.
Yeah, I think they're like $160-$180 bucks.
Oh, you're talking about the little one?
Yeah, the little one, the mini.
Yeah.
So, Joe, usually the problem is the tube has a Teflon liner on the inside, and you might need a new tube.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that I need a new tube, but even with the tube removed, it wasn't sliding through.
Mm-hmm. You got something else going on.
Exactly. There's something in there that I need to take apart that whole assembly for and find out what's going on and clear it out and put it back together and then start testing why it was crashing when it really shouldn't have been.
Right. Now, what I did, over the weekend, I think I got a box of filament from Amazon, ERYONE, Erion. That's how I say Erion. Gold silk. And one thing I discovered with it, with my printer, everything else, like I have a Solitech is usually what I use, the Solitech PLA. And that I usually am at about 210 centigrade. I had to raise the temperature about 10 degrees in order for that area one to feed right.
Yeah, but so, no, I'm thinking about getting the second smaller printer.
Yep.
So that I can continue printing while I'm troubleshooting, and then maybe by the time that second printer breaks, I'll have the first printer fixed.
There you go. Or you can print parts for the first one, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd like to get me one of the newer Creality, like the Zero 10 V2 or something like that. But
I don't know when I'm going to be able to afford it because I also
same here.
Pay for one of my kids' hearing aids and ouch.
Yep. And then the wife, end of last week, she says, Luke wanted to go someplace on his spring break. And I'm like, okay. He ain't going anywhere by himself. He could, but... So she wanted me to take time off work. Luckily, I could get it off. But we're just going to go down to Cincinnati. And yeah. There's a nice aquarium down there. We're going to go there. And I got a hotel right under... Well, put it this way. This is what I have now. Whether we keep that reservation or not, I don't know. Because he wants to go to the Newport Aquarium, which is really cool if you've never been to anything like that. We're going to go there, and then there's a bowling alley like right next to it. Of course, Luke wants to go bowl there. And then I think we're going to spend a day at Great Wolf Lodge, which is like one of them indoor water parks, you know. And I was going to stay there, but until I found out it was going to be $400 a night.
What? It doesn't cost that much to stay in Times Square in New York City.
I know. Well, the upside is you know, that's everything. The only thing it doesn't cover is food, you know. So, like, you get a wristband and you just go right in the park right from your hotel. But I'm not doing that. At least I don't want to anyway. There's a place, Dan, you would love this place. There's actually two locations in the Cincy area. A place called Jungle Jim's International Market. It is fantastic. Probably the best meat, cheese, the alcohol, of course, wine and beer. And then they have all these little sections. Like they have the Mexican section, the Middle Eastern section, so on and so forth. And then they have all these little displays and stuff all over the place. By far one of the neatest places I've ever been. So we're going to go there for a little while and get me some good stuff there. But just a little mini vacation, I guess. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know why I have to take time off work for this, because it's not, you know, I mean, I guess it's going to be nice to just be with the family, but.
No, you got to get smart like I do. I do all my vacations away from my family.
Well, I've got two coming up if they don't get canceled. Murph and the Dayton Hamvention. But my company, because of COVID-19, canceled their user group meeting that's happening in Orlando. It's the month about the same time as Murph, actually. So the fears on this, I get it. I do. But when you actually look at what it can do to you, probably, I would say everyone in this show, if we got it, would probably be able to get through it. Probably. With exception of maybe
Link. Yeah, but all of us have the option to work from home as well.
This is true, too. But. Yeah, I mean, it's just getting. I mean, I get it. I get it. But some people are getting ridiculous with it. You know, Kroger is like.
The Dallas area completely sold out of hand sanitizer and Clorox wipes.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, it's funny. I have a friend from church and she posted a picture of the side of her, Clorox wipes thing and says, and it had coronavirus on it. I'm like, she's like, it's like you were pressing. I'm like, no, coronavirus has been around for a while, not this strain, but it's been around for a while. So it's not that, you know, this is not something that's I mean, it is different. It's a different strain, but it's not, you know, it's not something that we haven't ever, I mean, we've, this particular strain we haven't seen before, but it still qualifies as a coronavirus, but common cold can also be a coronavirus too. Not the same strain, but it can be. Like I said, I get it, but it's a little crazy. It's like starting tomorrow and Columbus is supposed to be the Arnold Fitness. And fitness for the women, and gymnastics, grappling.
You're cutting in and out again.
I don't know why that is. Not even on my pie today. Anywho, but all these sports, but so they decided they're going to have it, but they're going to cancel like there's like an expo area where all these different companies dealing with fitness stuff will set up booths and stuff to sell stuff and things of that nature, you know, supplements, crap like that, you know. That part's canceled, and they're still trying to get it so that spectators can go in, but right now they're going to have the event. But they're going to have only the sports happen and the competitions happen. The only thing that they're going to allow spectators in is like the end of it. So and it's like, I'm like, well, if that's all you're going to do, why have it at all? Because part of the reason you go to those things, part of the whole reason for it to exist is the spectators. But anyway. Like I said, I get it, but whew, it's crazy. I would never say don't do anything. I will say don't do something stupid. But Google canceled Google I.O. because of it too. And I believe the big phone expo in Barcelona was also canceled this month.
Yep, and the
little phone expo.
And the European Firearms Show.
And
I was going to ask if anything European in the Auto firearms. Show. Yeah. Oh, European Auto Show got canned too?
Yep, Geneva Auto Show. I hope NRAM isn't getting canceled. I just bought my airline tickets.
See, that's the whole thing with some of these, especially the ones that were really close. It's like they canceled it. Yes, they canceled some of the stuff yesterday. The show starts tomorrow.
Pat, I know I'm sure probably asked there might have been people traveling. To NRAM?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you going to go to NRAM?
What is that?
NRA annual meeting. It's in
it's in Nashville.
Tennessee. Nashville, yeah.
Probably not.
I was gonna say, if you didn't know what it was, you're probably not going, right?
I might not know the acronym.
Now, I know. Right for right now, Murph is still on. Right now, Dayton Hamvention is still on. Those are the two that I was gonna go to this year.
Hey, come on, Hamvention. Those guys have a 99% chance of death.
Well, so do you, dude.
No.
Everybody's dying.
I'm ambulance.
It's just a matter of when. Yeah, it's just a matter of when. No, well, and some of these things I kind of get it a little bit. Like, for example, Hamvention, it wouldn't surprise me if they did it because you got people coming from all over the world to go to that. Same thing with the Arnold. But... some of these things that they're canceling, I don't get it. And that's the other thing too is if you're not allowed in now if you're coming from China because of this. Or Italy, I think it's about four or five countries that they won't let you travel. I think travel to or travel from either. I don't know. It's just crazy.
Yeah, one of my coworkers had to cancel his vacation because it was going to be in Italy.
Yeah, I had a friend who used to be my old boss down at the college. He was going to go to Italy, too.
I'm glad you had a friend.
Yeah. Last I checked, I thought you were my friend, too. Anyway.
He just used you to get a free meal, Joel.
He didn't. No,
we had separate checks.
Oh. We had separate checks.
Well, that's why you're not friends anymore, because he expected a free meal.
Well, I really could. Yeah, it's one of those weird things where I had to have separate checks anyway, even if I did want to buy him dinner, because mine was going on the company card, dude. So I wouldn't pay.
His couldn't go on the company card too. You couldn't just say, "Hey, I had two meals."
If he was a client, it could.
Well, you could have just said you had two meals.
Guys, it's cool.
There's a limit. There's a limit how much I can do per meal.
I wouldn't want him getting in trouble anyhow. Plus, Joel, you know that I think when were you down here? Because that's the only time I've eaten out for dinner in Orlando. Pretty
oh,
much,
really?
Yeah, pretty much. I microwave something I've got in the freezer or so.
I had beef stew for dinner tonight. I put it in before I started work this morning. It was good too. The only downside is I was out of Worcestershire sauce, and I usually put that in with my beef stew. It's one of those things like you ever have something that you make that you don't really have a recipe for? That's me and beef stew. I don't really have a recipe for it. I just kind of I buy two things of the beef, the pre-made beef broth, because I'm lazy like that. I don't want to make my own. But I buy that. Yeah, it's also cheap too. But I buy that and then I put that in the slow cooker, put the stew meat in there, potatoes, onions, carrots, a little garlic, a little pepper, maybe some seasonal. And then I usually put in like a splash or two of a Worcestershire sauce. Ran out. I just had like a little dribble of it, so I put in. I had some A1 in there, and I put that in there, and that actually came out good. So, I tried to do like crockpot meals and stuff like that. When I'm on call week, that way I can just stick it in there, and when they want to eat, they can eat, and when I can break out and grab something to eat in the evening, I usually do. So when I'm on call, I'm working till turnover calls at 7:30. I usually finish up about 8.
So your on call is only like during the day until like 8 o'clock at night, right?
Yep. Then we turn it over to Bangalore. Which right now, actually, our company has said no international travel at all. Until COVID-19 is under control. And we don't have to travel. If we were due to travel to a client site or something like that, we don't have to. They're basically putting it in our hands. If we decide we don't want to risk traveling because of COVID-19, we can.
Wait, do you even travel anymore? I thought, like, your position, you didn't need to do much travel.
Not as much. Not as much now. I went down worked down to Orlando in December for a team meeting. We were supposed to go. They were trying to plan one for April. Right now, I think it's probably not going to happen at this point. But I'd go. If the boss said she still wants to do it, I'd still go. I don't care. I'm not afraid of it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. The way I look at it, if I get it, and if it gets too bad to a certain point, I'll just go to the hospital. If it ends up being that, it ends up being that. You know, if if I don't feel bad enough to go to the hospital, I'll stay here and for however long it is and work if I can, and then
The only problem is if you and a couple hundred of your friends all have to go to the hospital and they don't have enough resources to handle
this
that.
This is true. You know, we're not there yet, and I don't know will get there.
Nowhere in the United States, I don't think, is there like that yet. But let's hope our fingers crossed and it stays that way.
When I talk to family members and stuff about it, I keep reminding people that we have a different standard of care and cleanliness here in the United States versus China, you know?
Right.
I mean, don't you know you freaking bats and stuff?
Yeah, but also understand now it's beyond that,
you know,
that
Joe,
level.
You're just
it's,
a racist. I mean, you might even call it coronavirus because it's COVID-19.
It's beyond that though. Now, I mean, it's not necessarily cleanliness is the like washing your hands is one of the biggest things you can do to get prevention. But I mean, once
wash
it starts spreading
hands,
in
stay
this
home
area, yeah, right. It's like stay the fuck home, right?
Right. Like, don't go
don't,
to work.
If you don't need
don't
them,
go to the
you
grocery
don't.
Store.
But
that's
not easy for you know.
Some
you also recognize it's not an easy thing, you know, unless you have prepared. You know, just be aware. I mean, the thing that I puts it in perspective for me is that it is a serious problem, and you need to take precautions.
Correct.
But the thing that also like I don't freak out. Too much about. I respect the fact that I'm not going fucking to any conventions, man.
Yeah,
I'm not going anywhere, right? Not until this you know, you got a better idea.
Well,
but, you know, also
I wouldn't get on a plane or a cruise ship.
Right. Absolutely
man,
not. But
I'm
also
flying to Tennessee in a month.
Also understand that if they provided the statistics for the flu like they're doing now, you probably shit your pants. Right.
Oh yeah, the flu's 10 times worse than this already.
Well, no, the flu's not 10 times worse, but the flu is pretty bad. It's just something we're used to.
Yeah.
This is really bad.
Right.
But you got to keep it in perspective. I mean,
yeah.
There's what 90,000 cases in a world of 7 billion people. Now your chances of getting it are very small, but you don't want to fucking get this.
Right? No.
So take precautions.
But you talk about though traveling though, even without this. Well, you know, I've been pretty lucky, but occasionally I'll get home after getting off a plane, and I'll have a cold because invariably somebody in that freaking metal tube had a cold of some sort. You know, so it doesn't really matter. You know, it's just worse. That's all.
If you need to travel somewhere, get yourself a sailboat and go by boat by yourself, right? There you go.
Yeah. But it's like some of the people are like, well, when they're having all these people come down here from the Arnold, and I'm like, yeah, but are you going down there? I'm like, if you're not there, you're probably not going to get it, you know, if somebody had it down there. But, you know, and I'm not saying that it's not possible. It's possible, but it's like.
I just don't want so, like, I don't want my you know, people. It's a dangerous thing. If somebody goes into that area and comes back and they have it and they can spread it to people around them in their other area. That's how it spreads. I mean, that's it right there. Somebody gets it, moves to another area, and is contagious and spreads it out.
Well, what's fucked up is that, you know, you cannot show any symptoms for weeks and have it.
Now, that's the scarier thing, to be honest, on that one, yeah. Now, probably one of the people that I saw that had the best take on it was, have you guys ever heard of the YouTuber, the dot guy who's a doctor, Dr. Mike?
No.
Yeah, that's his channel. His name's he actually is a doctor. I think he's in family practice now. He was when he started his channel, he was still a resident. But he's been on like a few of the news channels and stuff. But he's got a channel. He had a good video on it, and he talks about it. In you know, he basically he says, you know, take precautions, but, you know, it's not, you know, it technically it's a pandemic, yes, but I don't think he's an engaged Jonas. I don't know. I'd have to look. But he has probably the most balanced way to look at it, is the way I look at it. But some of these news channels are just getting
freaking stupid with it. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's like nonstop.
Like, whenever there's a little bit of a case or a little tiny thing about it, you know, they're like, well, we gotta talk about it. We gotta have a story about it. It's like,
well, you know, the news channels are. If it bleeds, it leads. You know.
Yep.
Right. That's why I said if they treated the flu the same way, you'd be freaked out about the flu.
Yeah. How about like all the car debts every year? You know.
Yeah. But again, it's something that you do need to take serious and absolutely. Be careful. Absolutely.
And prepare. Yeah, I don't disagree. Yes. Yeah.
Don't be shocked if in a month or two, you know, they tell you to stay home for 3 weeks.
I think it was 15 years ago there was the flesh-eating virus, and you know there was there was no statistically change in the number of cases, but it just became popular. The news was reporting, and everybody went nuts.
Well, you had MERS, you had SARS, you had Ebola.
Yeah, the media, they're really blown. It's a business. They're trying to get eyes. They're trying to get views.
Yep. Yeah, it's clickbait.
Well, the other exactly thing is, if you use the C word, and I'm not sure if COVID-19 is acceptable, but if you use the C word on YouTube, you get demonetized.
Really?
Really? I don't think COVID-19 is restricted. It's just the coronavirus is the one that they're saying is demonetized.
I don't know. I don't know if
un-American, man. Censorship is un-American, man. That's bullshit. Yeah, be careful. Wash your hands.
There you go. There's a video I watched yesterday. He says technically it's a pandemic, which is true. I mean, it is. It's in every country. But is it as bad as some of these people in the media are making it? No.
You know, take precautions. It's the same people who are susceptible to it as the flu. You know, older people with autoimmune disorders and weak immune systems.
Now, it was funny was that the doctor, and it's because technically, yes, I'm diabetic technically, even though I'm not taking insulin. And doctor didn't say I should be pricking my finger. Actually, he was pretty proud of me because my between visits, my A1C dropped from 6.5 to 5.8, which is almost normal. But he asked me if I wanted to get the pneumonia virus vaccine, and I'm like, nah, I don't think so. Said I work from home. The risk of me getting something that's gonna get me pneumonia. Now I will say this: it's higher now because Luke's in college. But you know, I'm not worried about it. You know, maybe at some point in the near future I'll start doing that. But I've never gotten a flu shot. I've never gotten this pneumonia vaccine.
My wife's an RN, and she's nuts about getting the flu shot. And she gets it free, so we all get it free at the hospital. And she's like, "You're gonna get your, I'm taking you there right now."
Everybody can, almost everybody can get it free. I mean, I can get it free. My company will pay for it. I mean,
your company or insurance pays for it.
Well, insurance, but yeah, okay, I mean, it's covered. Yeah, I'm covered. It's not. It's for me. It's not a financial thing. It's just. It's just that I've known.
You're lazy.
That's part of it. Other part is I have known quite a bit of people that gotten it. It's, you know, like last year it was very ineffective. And they admitted that too. So
typically the flu virus, the shot is 40% effective.
Yeah, it's not. It's yeah, that's the thing. You know. I haven't had the flu in, God, probably since I was a kid. So, I mean, it's been a long time. I was just sitting here the other day and trying to think, other than just like a little bit of you know, the Hershey squirts or an upset stomach or maybe a little vomiting. Have I been sick in the last year? And the answer is no, I really haven't been. So,
well, you keep knocking on that wood, pal.
Yes, sir. So, you know, but it's true. It's true too. Like I know Link, just talking with him because he's a kidney failure. He's real susceptible to stuff like that. So I just don't want, you know, that the thing that just irks me about how the media is treating is it's gotten people to the point where they don't want to have life, you know? They just want to stay home. I just want to stay home, but that's not because of that.
So you're saying you want to stay home because you're lazy, but no, those no, motherfuckers no, that are staying no, home not, because they're afraid with, of getting the virus or something.
Not, with me, it's not no, with me, it's not laziness. With me, it's just that.
You got nowhere that, to go.
Well, that's part of it. But the other thing is my tolerance for people's bullshit is at times it can be low. That's all I'm gonna say. You know, I can manage to get church just fine. I can manage to go to the grocery store. I have a higher tolerance than my wife does for people. But in the end, it's just like when I get like. And most annoying thing is when I go to the grocery store and people are just standing there in the aisle because they saw their neighbor and they're sitting there chatting up right in the middle of the aisle where everybody has to go.
All right. It's like, you know what? There's two things I really think should be mandatory is learn how to move a effing cart and stay out of everybody's effing way.
Yes, thank you.
Serious. And same thing about a little bit of courtesy driving. Like, how do we make the traffic flow?
Yes.
If we come to a merge, let's do alternate merge. You're just some simple things and not be complete a-holes about it.
That's what I get sick of. It's not, you know, when I talk to someone in person, it's generally I'm okay, you know? But it's like if I'm trying to get from point A to point B in the grocery store, right, and you're sitting there taking forever to pick your freaking ketchup.
Okay. I'm gonna vent here. Let me take the soapbox from you, Joel. So I'm at Costco in Orlando here, in Altamont Springs, and I have two items. The people ahead of me have like 150 effing items, and they go into the self checkout ahead of me. They didn't even look back and to see that I had two items, and then it wouldn't take an EBT card. It wouldn't take this. They had this whole, you know. I could have been out of there in like 22 seconds because I had my card out and the card is NFC. I was so annoyed. I had to wait like 10 effing minutes for these people that, you know, probably never did this before. And they weren't the worst. They were probably the best people. The people that never saw a computer before were ahead of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yep.
You know, like, okay, Bridge, I got the opposite for you, right? There are times that I am in the line at the grocery store to check out, and like I got a shopping cart full of shit, and the guy behind me has like two things, and I'm like, why don't you go ahead of me? Because you got two things, and he's like,
No, that's
all right, I'll wait. I'm like, what? Really? I'm gonna be here a half hour.
I would have climbed over you.
Well, you know what I think that is, Dan? I think it's that guy is like, you know what? I'm no rush to get home to that bitch of a wife.
Man, damn. Holy crap. No, but, you know, a lot of times people do take that. And I'm really cognizant of that. Like, you know, because I know if I'm behind, I hear you, Rich. If I'm standing in line and the person in front of me has a shopping cart full of stuff and they haven't even started putting their stuff on the belt yet, and I have two things.
Right.
I got my card out, and I've got the two items. You know, I'm on lunch, and I'm just looking to do a quick in-out.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm right, you know, I've done what you do. I've done both. I'm going to admit it. I've done both. I've been the guy, like, waiting behind the idiot in front of me with 500 things, and because that's either the only lane open, Which, that's the one thing I don't get, is when they only have, like, two or three lanes open. It's like, for God's sake.
I would have asked if I could go ahead of him, you know, but he looked at me a couple of times, and I know if I ask, I'm just going to sound like an arrogant asshole. You know, I know there's no way I can make right. it sound like I'm...
Well, maybe they took like, a look at you and like, we're not letting this asshole
be.
In.
They could be. They're like, oh, that guy, I know he voted for Trump. I'm not letting him in.
Right.
Or do you ever have the problem where... You let somebody in front of you and they don't put their stuff on the belt. And then you're like, you got a problem because if you put your stuff on, it just slides all the way to the front and then causes all that confusion mm-hmm. of like, mm-hmm. whose stuff is whose? Because you didn't put your stuff on the belt.
Because they didn't put the bar down.
Or put the stuff on the belt.
Right. Like, here's one that annoys me. This is like, I get told like right at the end of my shift yesterday, Luke has a paper he has to print. The printer's out of ink. I'm like, holy crap. All right. And this is like 8:30 at night. I'm like, okay. I hope somebody's open by the time I get there. Walmart. So I get to Walmart doesn't have the larger sizes. Okay. So
larger
I go
size
to,
of what?
Of the ink. Oh. Mine is a HP 902 is the number on the cart.
Isn't it just cheaper to buy a new printer?
Some days, because I spent $123 on ink.
Oh my God, $123! Like the printers,
I had to buy three cartridges because like they're all out. Yeah, no, actually, our printer was probably $200 when we got it. But anyway,
I think I paid $25 for the HP LaserJet 5 that I have.
Oh my God, right. LaserJet. That's so, a whole different story. That's all
right. So
that's
anyway.
Class.
There's actually two things with this one. One is when I first walk in the store, I'm not even to the shelf, and somebody's like chasing me down saying, "Do you need any help?" I'm like, "I'm fine. I can find what I want. You know, I'm good." But I got that at least three or four times. Now, granted, I will say this: I was in athletic shorts and a shirt in early March, which I guess that might have looked weird to some people, but I was comfortable. All right. But anyway, so I get home, load those things in, all right. So he prints his paper off, and this was part for like a presentation he had to do, all right. So and my wife's like, "How many copies do you need?" And all of a sudden that printer's just spewing paper, okay. And I'm like, "Well," I'm like, "Hold on." I open up the phone and I look, the cyan cartridge is already. Almost out. And I'm like, and I'm like, wait a minute. Print one copy off, take it down to freaking college, and rent them off on a copier down there. I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh my goodness, how many was he printing off?
Like 20 copies, and each copy was like 5 pages.
Five pages like, of full color?
Yeah.
Holy, why do you need 5 pages? I mean, five copies.
I don't know. To hand them, because it was like, they were PowerPoints that we were handing out to the class. And I'm like, dude, print one copy off, take it to school. Or better yet, print it off down there. It's like, don't do that here anymore.
Yeah, you'd be, like, it would be cheaper just to photocopy that.
Yes, it will.
You know, because I'm looking here, you're like, you could have bought 2.5 printers, maybe even 3 printers for the price of that color, the ink that you bought.
Depends on the thing. One of these
things
I mean,
you might get shitty printers, but you'll get you.
Right.
You get
it probably
your job
would have
done.
Been cheaper to go to Kinko's and hand them a USB yes. card.
Yes. 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 You got that right, but
it anyway, sounds like you were late at night.
Yeah, it was like
last
8,
minute
9
thing.
O'clock. Yeah, of course. You know. One of these days, I do need to. I would like to buy a laser printer at one point, but I just haven't found one that I like that was. Priced the way I wanted it. I don't print nothing anymore, to be honest. I mean, it's like 9 times out of 10, if I want to show somebody a picture or something, I'll load it up on my phone or my iPad and I'm done. It's like, you know, it's like I don't need to print pictures, you know. It's like I'm standing there in the kitchen digging around, and what do I see on my Google Home Hub? Because it's synced to Google Photos and that picture's in there. TLLTS bag of crap. Remember those?
Oh yeah.
What was the bag of crap?
Just bag of crap. Not like
it
crap.
Exactly
crap,
what it sounds like. Bag crap. It was just junk that
old hardware and stuff we had laying around.
We had a whole bunch of it. I had some. Link had more. I think you had 3 or 4 servers that you had in that deal too. I think I remember right.
Yeah, it was just terrible stuff.
Purging shit is what it was.
Joe, when the hell was the last time you were at a Kinko's?
You're right. I think Kinko's got bought out by FedEx.
FedEx.
Yeah, because I was going to say.
FedEx Kinko's.
I'm like, I haven't seen a Kinko's in forever. And I'm like, are they still around? But yeah, they got.
Oh, there's one downtown.
They've been changed UPS to FedEx.
Is like mailboxes, et cetera, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's still the same thing. You walk in, it looks just the same.
It's just FedEx.
My son, well, I should say we, not my son, because he ain't paying it. But there is a technology charge that we pay every semester to the college. It's like, dude, print that shit down there.
Yeah, but even then, they only let you do so many printouts before you have to start paying more.
True. True, but. I'm just like, you know, and then I've never heard of people moving instructors moving assignments around as much as they have on my son. It's like, you know, they'll walk in, oh, well, let's do this week, but I'm going to give you guys more time, and that happens every week. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I haven't had a printer in like years. I can't remember the last time I had a printer.
I have one in my office. It's actually on, but I don't use it.
If I need to print something, I go to the library.
It's pretty rare that I print anything for myself.
But the only thing I ever print is I'll print boarding pass for an airplane, even though I don't really need to do that either.
Yeah, you like don't need to print anything anymore, it seems.
No. Nope.
What do you print, Rich?
Nearly nothing. You know, my wife and daughter print stuff, and it was like, I guess about 10 years into the marriage, before my wife finally realized the hundreds and thousands of dollars she spent on ink and printers and all-in-one devices, which are good at nothing, that I was right all along about my $25 LaserJet 5 that's capable of 30,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
And the toner cartridges cost next to nothing.
And they last for a year.
Yeah, well,
wait, how much your toner cartridges cost?
They're up. I think they're like $30 now.
How often do you go through one?
Once a year? A good 7 years.
Because I was say when I had the HP 4P or whatever it was, I don't think I ever bought a toner cartridge for it.
Oh no,
that thing died before the toner cartridge.
I bought it used for $50, and I think it was about 5 years before I changed the cartridge the first time.
Right. I just don't print. I mean, I don't even.
No, I pretty much zero print.
It's
you know.
Cheaper for me to 3D print something than it is to print something, I think.
You can print, like, blocks and, like, stamp them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's like I got a bespoke post this month. That's basically, think Loot Crate, but for men. All right, and I guess I got a woman one too, like Loot Crate, but for men.
What is it called?
You mean Loot Crate's not for men?
Bespoke Post is the name of it.
What did you get in that?
This month I got an OpenL number 8.
A what?
Knife. OpenL number 8 knife. It's a pocket knife. It's made in France. I got a Line of Trade bottle opener. Like for opening a bottle of beer, I guess you can open pop with it too. I got a Call Echo fountain pen, which actually is really nice to write with, believe it or not. I've never wrote with one before, except for
so you got a knife, a pocket knife,
a fountain pen,
and a bottle book.
Yep.
And that, was there anything else?
Yeah, there's a bound notebook that you would write in, like you'd write a journal or something in.
Okay.
That you can use to write the pen with, and then that was it for that one. This month I decided not to get anything because basically the one they picked for me is a whole bunch of stuff I already have, namely Harry's shaving supplies.
I didn't need those. I gotta talk about that. So
Harry's?
Yeah, no, not Harry's.
A Dollar Shave.
So, no, no, not Dollar Shave. You know, I can talk on my own. I'm kind of good at that.
CVS.
Now, what was I saying?
Shit.
CVS. Shit.
So, all right. Just because I'm a man.
Use Barbasol.
I was very insulted with the whole Gillette thing, but
was he on really, that?
I really was a fan of the Gillette vibrating razor.
You know, the Fusion, yeah.
There's Dorco, which you can get on Amazon. So there's a six-blade razor on Amazon you can get. The blades, instead of being like $3 a blade, like Gillette, which I think they dropped their price. I think they used to be like $5 or $6 a blade. They're $2 a blade. So I got their starter kit, which is a handle and 10 cartridges for $29.99.
Not
bad. I'm liking it.
I may I may try a safety razor at some point.
Yeah, you know, future. Brad Alexander, he keeps, you know, talking up safety razors.
I still got the Derby I bought like a decade ago, and the razor blades I got with, I just keep using the same one over and over and just shave dry.
How often do you shave, though?
I've reduced my amount of shaving.
Yeah.
Because I'm lazy.
Because you got that big old beard.
But even when I was, I just like shave dry now, you know.
Shave dry.
I don't got time to lather up. I just grab it.
If I try that, it'd be severe tire damage.
So right? I
like my
guys...
face too much for that crap.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? You get used to it, Joe. It only hurts for the first like 5 or 6 times. Then you get used to
for
it.
For the first 5 years, it only hurts.
Yeah, right. You get used to it.
No,
I remember you guys did the shaving mirror shower.
I do it. I do shave in the shower. When I shave,
is that an anti-fog mirror?
Yep, I got an anti-fog mirror.
I just got a Chizo plastic mirror that I run hot water on.
I only do that when I'm at home.
That's your cocaine mirror, right?
Well, it's dual purpose.
There you go. Yeah.
But I like Bespoke Post. The knife I got is really neat. It's handles like wood. And it's got a real unique lock mechanism. It's the kind of pocket knife you don't want to just hand to somebody because it.
They'll steal it.
No, well, I doubt they'd steal it. They wouldn't know how to use it.
Only you know how to use it, right?
Like a
you...
paratrooper knife.
It sounds one of those free like toys that you send away for, and
no, it's not like that.
After collecting
it's
five cereal.
Knife.
Like nobody else will know how to use it because only
they
you
actually,
have
they
the
actually
key.
Make the same design and model sizes. Like this is the number 8, and they may have a number 12, and basically the bigger the number, the bigger the knife. But it's got a unique. They call it a vibro lock. Basically, it's got this like piece of metal that goes around the end of it, and you just kind of twist it one way, and then you can open it up, and then you twist it back, and it locks it in position. The nice thing about their lock design is that it won't come open in like when it's in your pocket. So, and the best thing I like about it is the handle's made out of, I think it's a wood of some sort, but it's very lightweight. Like it's like the perfect pocket knife to stick in your shorts in the summer. So, I've started picking up knives. Here and there, because I like knives. I like collecting knives. A link gave me a link to a Grandway folder that was $6 on Amazon, and I figured $6. Let me check it out. And I ordered it. It's actually a pretty neat knife.
Oh.
But
when you said a folder, I was like
folding knife, like a pocket knife.
You didn't mean like a folder to hold your stuff.
But that's kind of one reason why I did Bespoke Post is because they'll generally have a lot of knives. There's not as many knives as like say BattleBox or some of the other ones that are out there, and it's always not always that stuff either. One of the boxes this month was a raincoat. There was a pasta maker in one of them too. They also usually have at least one box a month that's like surrounding like alcohol. I'll never get that one, but like really nice glasses and stuff. And
I wasn't interested until you said alcohol.
Yeah, like I think one month they had like a bunch of glasses and some whiskey stones.
Wait, in this loot crate or whatever the hell it's called?
Bespoke post.
I didn't know they can do that. Like send alcohol like that.
Oh, they don't send alcohol in it, but they send tools what? For the alcohol.
Oh, forget. All right, I'm out.
What the hell kind of tools do you need to drink alcohol besides a glass?
Like a jigger and things for mixing. Your drinks with. Another box they had recently was one with the Philips Hue light bulbs in it. One of the ones this month is the name, and they also have some really neat names for the boxes. Like one of the ones this month is called Switchback. It has a folding camp shovel, a compass, a knife, a box of matches, you know, waterproof matches, and like a foldable lamp, like you'd use during camping. Another one is called Jet Set, where it has like a passport holder and a bunch of different toiletries, like shampoo and conditioner, stuff like that for travel. Last month, one of the ones was Brew, which is basically a brew your own beer at home set. It had a gastronomy. This one's kind of interesting. I'm not going to get it. But it's basically a food science-y kind of box. So like it has like stuff in it to make like the little gel bubbles and stuff like that, you know. So neat crap like that. You know, and it's $50 for the basic box. It's worth it for some of them. And the nice thing about it is it's always like the boxes always come out first of the month. So, and they give you 4 days to pick your box. And if you decide you don't want something, they don't send you anything. So occasionally they have some pretty neat stuff. The first one I got had a Japanese hori hori knife, which is it's basically a knife that's designed for gardening. It has it's kind of concave, so you can kind of dig with it a little bit. And on one side has the serrations on it, so you can use that like to trim branches and stuff. The other side is a regular knife edge, and then the pommel has like a real hard metal like pounding peg, so like you use the pommel of the knife to pound pegs and stuff in. And it had that, and it had a bird call in it, and a bar of charcoal soap. You ever seen that charcoal soap?
Yeah,
this had charcoal. It was a charcoal and gold moss. It actually smelled pretty good, so. But that was in. That's in their. They have a line of healthcare stuff. But it started out with men, but I think they're starting to add women's stuff too. But that kind of health and beauty kind of stuff. They always have, and you always choose to add those as part of your box. So things like bar soaps and stuff like that. Which bar soap is like, especially a nice bar soap, not like the cheap shit Safeguard that we used to use when we were kids. Seems to be making a comeback. You know, like glycerin soaps and stuff like that. Instead of using the body wash that everyone used for a long time. Another one they had last month that I almost got was called Carve, and it has a nice pocket knife with like ivory. I think it's ivory on it, maybe. And then it has the tools to do scrimshaw on it, which is basically carving like a design into the handle of your knife. I liked that idea, But my thought was, I'm going to screw this up. So I passed. So I don't always get one, though. It's nifty stuff. And it's neat seeing this kind of stuff. A lot of it is hipsterish kind of stuff, you know.
So now you're a hipster with your
no, not really.
And your drinking utensils.
I didn't get those. But yeah. One of the ones was alchemy, and so it has like a jigger and a mixing cup and all that stuff. So different neat stuff.
Anybody here ever work with varnish?
Yep, I hate it.
We
sticky as hell.
No, not that. The technology, varnish.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So,
I've made the same mistake Joel did.
You thought I was talking about varnish, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to chime in.
No, I'm talking about like varnish cash. So we use a company called Fastly, and it's FAST.ly is the, no, wait, is it Fastly.net? It's Fastly, it's like Fastly Edge, it's Fast, oh, Fastly.com, I thought they were FAST.ly, and I go there quite frequently, too. I think it's a link on Okta for us. Click on a chick right now. Anyway, Fastly is a caching technology. We use it as a way to easily route stuff if we need to through either our API at Apigee or something else. Essentially, they build their technology off of Varnish. And Varnish has its own language, Varnish control language, which is not that complicated once you start getting into it and understanding it. I had to play around with that last week and in this past couple of days to try and solve a solution that provide a solution for what we wanted to do. And it turned out to be so much harder than it needed to be. Because we do a lot of automation of our that type of configuration and deployment of that by using Terraform. And boy, does it suck when the version of Terraform that your automation tool uses is not the version of Terraform that you have locally, and it's not the version of Terraform that supports the documentation that you're reading for the stuff that you want to do. And you sit there and you're like, why is this not working? And it's just such a pain in the ass. You ever have that problem, Joe?
No.
You're running with stuff, documentation doesn't support the version you're using, and the tools are using a completely different version. That happens too often.
Or the documentation hasn't been updated in 3 years.
There you go.
More like five.
Or doesn't exist.
Or doesn't yes. exist.
Or the
or might as well not exist because, you know, there's hardly anything there.
Yes, this is like I did JMeter testing not too long ago for a client, and we ended up having to get a JMeter script directly from development because they made changes to the new version that delivered with the software. And no documentation on it.
Yeah,
so the old inherited one had like one thread group. This one had four, and it's like, okay, what? How do I set this up?
A couple of times I've inherited applications or been handed applications and told, "Oh, you're supporting this now." And then you go and you look at the runbook, and yeah, a runbook exists, but all it says is to be updated, and the last time that saw an update was 2017.
Yep.
Whoa. Or I like when the documentation is essentially how to create a read or a hello world type of application with whatever you're using. And then if you really want to know how to use it, you have to dig through the source code to get the calls and everything in there to truly begin using it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like last week, one of the problems we have is that when we switched to Node 12 on our image, that resulted in our Couchbase's Couch Node SDK to now, instead of pulling down a pre-built binary to compile it for the operating system and the version of Node that you have installed, which drastically is increasing build time. And so I go to their documentation for this thing, and I'm like, how is this thing working? What are they doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I had to go through so much shit just to figure this out until I realized that, oh, okay, this is where they're getting the pre-built binaries. They haven't built one for Node 12. That's why it's not pulling one down. They don't make it available. Node 12 has been out for over a year now. Why haven't they made it available? So I contact their support, and they're like, we'll get back to you after we talk to engineering, right? Like, are you guys going to put one out, or do I have to build it myself and make it available? Because it turns a, 5 to 7 minute installation when I have to build it. If I provide a pre-built binary, it turns a 5 to 7 minute installation into, a 30-second installation. That's a huge difference. It's a huge difference, Joe and Joel and Rick.
Especially if you're how many servers are you deploying it against?
Oh, it's not like that. It's in our continuous integration pipeline, so we build it once.
Oh, okay. Right.
But the problem is the way that our integration pipeline works is when somebody merges, when a PR is merged into production, it kicks off that whole process where it builds that new version and then updates the version number in the repo along with the changes that were made. Then anybody else out there who's working on code for that repo has to update their branch from that version because then it's going to be out of date. And then they have to go through that whole, so it has to, every time there's a merge into master, it has to build it. So we wanted to go as fast as possible. And again, like I say, when it takes 5 to 7 minutes to build, as opposed to having a pre-built binary, it only takes 30 seconds. I mean, that's a lot of time you can save right there. Time when you have to put out a patch, you don't want to sit around waiting like that.
Don't disagree. It's like we have one client who has a replication on their SQL database, and when we go to do software updates, we need to disable the replication because for some reason with the replication enabled, it takes forever.
Replication is what?
SQL database.
Oh, SQL database.
Yeah. So basically, it mirrors every write to the database, and the mirror they use for reporting. So that way they don't have to query against the production database directly and affect the transactional database. So, and if they don't do that, then software updates take, 2 to 3 times as long at least. So they do work. But it takes a long time. So.
Have you ever had the update go really bad and then you lost all your customers' data?
Never. Our updates usually don't do that. They do have some updates that does modify the schema in the database. Not very many of them, though. Most often it's just updating the code on the Unidata side of things.
I have
There is one little issue with our SQL clients. If you have a computed columns in your database, in your colleague database, for Windows clients, Windows SQL, every time you generate a computed column, it essentially builds a DLL file, right? Mm-hmm. And if your computed column doesn't build correctly, it won't build the DLL file, so you have no computed columns at all. So even if one column in the whole entire database won't compile, you have none of them. No computer columns. And a computer column, for people who don't know what a computer column is, basically, instead of having a field that's stored in a database, it computes it from other fields in the database, essentially. It is what it sounds like, a computed column. So, and then that happened last year when I was still in professional services, when I basically was working just for one client most of the time. They had four or five developers working on computed columns all at the same time, and they were all trying to generate at the same time, and invariably one or two of them had one that was bad. So I was constantly fixing those things for him.
Okay, so, guys, thanks for listening. Good night.
So, man.
He's got a good old mini PC.
Nope, we're not doing mini PC. I'm just old.
He's an old fart.
Good night.
Good night. I thought I was going to go to the gym again today, but after the show, but I'm beat. I think I'm just going to relax a little bit.
Yeah, Fluxbox hasn't had a release or an update since 2015.
Well, at least they had one in 2015.
Makes me wonder if it's like considered dead now. And their source pages on their sources on source.
I wonder if IBM still uses IBM used Fluxbox on their what do they call that thing?
Remind me, what is Fluxbox?
Window Manager.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a window manager that's, I guess, it's kind of a
tiling window manager.
No, it's not tiling. It's kind of like Blackbox.
It's very simple. Didn't it used to be part of KDE at one point?
No.
No.
So it's a window manager that was based on Blackbox.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking about, yeah.
Okay.
So if you like... So it's like Black it's Box with a little more features. It's very
still pretty lightweight too. Yeah, IBM used to use it on their if you have power hardware, especially servers, you basically have a computer that you boot the server with. So that's where you would control everything from it. Like, for example, when you set up logical partitions, that's where you would set it up at on that machine. But it ran Linux and it ran Fluxbox for the window manager on that and Java for everything else. At least it did back when I used to run one. Back in the old days. 10 years ago. That's when I tested Bashpotter on AIX and found out it would work. I did that with one feed just to see if it worked so I can tell Link if it worked.
Damn, Sawfish hasn't had a release that I can see since 2017.
Now, what was funny is I typed in the name of our conference is eLive. All right, and I typed that into Google, just trying to search for the page when I heard about that. And the first thing, you know what the first thing came up was, Dan?
What?
The eLive Linux distribution.
Oh, and what?
Basically a live Linux distribution that uses Enlightenment for the window manager. enlightenment. Yeah, it's, desktop managers aren't as fun anymore. There's not a lot of stuff happening in those anymore.
Oh, I always have a soft spot for Enlightenment.
Enlightenment and Windowmaker are the two that I like.
I really like Fluxbox too. And I'm trying to see, like, I know there's active development going on in Enlightenment. I'm trying to see what version they're currently on.
Now, last week on eBay, I ordered a copy of macOS Leopard to put on my PowerBook because it's just a museum piece right now. The newest version of Linux I can get to run on it is 16.04 of Ubuntu or Lubuntu.
That's not terrible.
Now it's quite old though, and I don't think there's any security updates for it anymore. It doesn't really matter anyway, because even on Mac OS X, you can't get a relatively recent browser.
Can you get like MX Linux to run on there?
The problem is there's not a lot of support for power hardware anymore because of its age, except for on a server level. Server level for like IBM Power, which is basically the same platform almost, that works fine. Plenty of support there, but for desktop Linux, there really isn't anything there anymore. Like I said, I turned it into a museum piece. I'll boot it up whenever I want to play around with Mac OS X. What's funny, though, is you can still the disk I have is straight up Leopard 10.5. 10.5.8 is the latest version of it. And when I installed 10.5 on it, it was able to go update to 10.5.8 just fine off of Apple servers. They still have the servers up and running. I don't think you ever ran that on your PowerBook that you had, Dan, did you?
Run what?
Leopard? Or did you stop at Tiger?
The one that I owned? Oh, that was, gosh, I don't remember. I tried running. I had Yellow Dog on there for a while.
Yeah, even Yellow Dog's gone now too, I think.
I miss Yellow Dog.
I miss that time. It was just such a different time in the Linux world.
It was.
That was back in the time where if you were able to get the disk booted, invariably you had something that you had to fix before you could actually use it. Things like Wi-Fi or printers or something like that.
Your screen now resolution.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I remember the time where you had to be very careful setting X up, otherwise you might blow your monitor up.
Yeah, they always said that, but I never had a problem. Famous last words, right? I never had that problem. Gosh, I remember we used to have to run XF86 setup and stuff like that. And if you had like a weird like video card, sometimes you have to run it multiple times because the first time you run it wouldn't work, and then you'd have to tweak the settings. And
like, remember wobbly cards. Windows?
Yeah, they still have them.
Yep, they do, but nobody cares about them anymore.
They were pretty cool.
I remember when we thought it was a huge deal when we could get wobbly Windows, and for some dumb reason, uPorn working on Linux.
Oh, sure.
Like, I got the uPorn to work.
We got to start wrapping some stuff up here.
Yeah, it's getting old. It's getting time.
Okay, everybody, keep yourself safe.
Wash your hands. Blow your nose.
Don't buy Corona.
Don't buy Corona because it sucks anyway.
I love Corona, man. I just bought myself a six pack this past weekend because I was like, man.
Did you buy some limes too?
Yes, I did.
Good.
Of course you do.
That means you're doing it right,
Joe. You come on.
I had to make sure.
They should make it mandatory.
You're from a completely different part of the country than me, so I don't know.
Yeah, they should make it mandatory that if you buy a Corona, you have to get. They give you limes with it.
Right. It comes with it.
Yes, I don't understand why.
You don't have to go to another section of the store and find them and buy them.
Right. That's the way it should be. Not saying that's the way it is, but yeah, absolutely. I love. If you're not putting a slice of lime in that bottle, you're missing out.
Corona.
Yeah, I heard their sales figures actually went down because of the coronavirus.
Right.
Because people are stupid. Just like when they were pointing out Garth Brooks wearing a Bernie Sanders football jersey. I'm like, no. There was a famous Detroit Lion who had the last name Sanders. That doesn't mean that he supports Bernie Sanders. Idiots.
All right. So
have a good night, folks.
Have yourself a beer, and here we go. Here's your promos. Thank you for listening. Oh my.
Oh my.
Whoa.
Oh my. How did I skip it?
Sorry. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. All right.
Woohoo.
Time to, damn, that school year's almost over there. Joe, we're halfway through.
Well, spring break is next week.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I'm going to be tortured at work thoroughly. Because all of the other, all my coworkers that have kids, not me, obviously, but everybody else, is taking that week as vacation.
So they're going to have all the fun, and you're going to have all the work.
Exactly.
Nice.
I'm going to be doing the work of like four people.
It's fun, fun, fun. So the kids go back to school the next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Then everybody's back. And then I'm probably going to take a couple of days off because I'll be tired of it.
Yeah, yeah. Say goodnight, Joel. I'm going to stop the recording.
Good night, Joel.
I got two graduating this year, so. Oh, yeah. You there, Joe?
Nope. All I'm right. Not here.
That's what I thought. All right. What's a good friend, Rich and Joel?
I don't know. Joel's usually here before me.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
We got two Joes here tonight.
Yep.
All right. Right, what do we got going on here? Episode 847. You know, I gotta finish uploading all this stuff to archive.org. Okay, ready. It's that time. All right. Got some nice weather down there, Joe?
No.
You got some nice weather up there, Pat?
It's been nice the last couple days.
What's wrong with your weather, Joe?
Cold and wet.
Cold and wet. And tasty. All right, let's see what we got here. Eight 47, right? I think that's what I said. What's wrong with the web page? Oh, there we go. Yeah, 847. For the beginning of March.